On a crystalline fall day, two orange t-shirted canvassers for a group called Next Gen Climate Change wander the breezy back streets of Portsmouth.
You know exactly where we are. Yeah.
So not quite, it turns out. But with help from a voter ID iPhone app, Tucker Breton and Andrea Harkness do eventually find their target, a house containing someone who might care about their issue, which is global warming. The canvassers' salaries and their iPhones are paid for by billionaire environmentalist Tom Steyer.
Oh, God. You guys are getting me, like, off guard here.
Breton takes the lead with resident Sarah Dixon, who, it turns out, is a big skier.
The snow's coming later. Mm-hmm. It's...
And less of it.
Oh, yeah, way less of it. Lots more rain.
Artificial snow isn't as good to ski on either.
No, that's for sure. Yeah.
And do you know who you're supporting the upcoming Senate election this year?
No.
Pay dirt. Sarah Dixon is just the kind of person the canvassers are looking for. She has a personal stake in climate change, and she's undecided in this year's elections. By the time she closes her door, Dixon's heard a pitch to support Democrat Jean Shaheen in the U.S. Senate race, and heard a few ominous things about opponent Scott Brown's environmental record. She's also signed a card that says she's willing to use her vote to fight climate change, providing a new data point for Next Gen's voter contact software.
You mind if we get a signature from me?
Yeah, sure.
Real quick, just so that we know we can count on you to fight climate change.
Next Gen is spending $600,000 on voter outreach in New Hampshire and another $1.5 million on advertising. That's just a fraction of the $70 million-plus Steyer is spending nationally. And Next Gen Climate Change is far from the only group out there trying to reach inconsistent voters.
Our goal is to turn out those people, and this makes sense, that fundamentally agree with us on issues that don't go to the polls in non-presidential year elections.
That's Corey Lewandowski. He directs national voter outreach efforts for Americans for Prosperity, a free market advocacy group backed by the billionaire Koch brothers.
To put it in perspective, 2 years ago, in a presidential year, AFP had about 130 to 135 people out in the field in 18 to 20 states working specifically on the ground to mobilize citizens to get them engaged so they could go and educate people on free market issues. This year, we've got about 600 people in those states.
Including, of course, New Hampshire, where AFP has been supporting Brown and other Republicans. Another group that wants to turn out marginal GOP-leaning voters is called Unlocking Potential, whose goal is to improve the party's appeal to women voters.
I mean, we do have something of a brand problem with some people, right?
So, Unlocking Potential's national leader is Carly Fiorina, the former Hewlett-Packard executive and California candidate for U.S. Senate. She's been in New Hampshire several times this fall, and she led a workshop for GOP canvassers in Manchester last month.
Because the Democrats have succeeded in branding us as people who don't care. The Democrats have succeeded in branding us as people who only care about Wall Street.
Fiorina coaches her audience on how to soften the Republican image among women, how to pivot away from contentious social issues such as abortion or gay rights, and to turn conversations to Republican views on economic growth and self-determination. She frequently urges her listeners to use the project's app.
This can't just be paper and word of mouth. We got to get it into a database.
The databases, software, apps, and ground troops that are being deployed now will have value beyond this year's election, particularly in the presidential primaries in 2016.
These groups have an interest in New Hampshire because of our unique role in the presidential primary.
Karen Hicks is a Democratic strategist who helped pioneer the modern era of data-driven voter contact when she directed Howard Dean's New Hampshire primary campaign in 2004. Hicks says the outside groups can be most effective in motivating slices of the electorate that really matter in midterm elections and in crowded presidential primaries.
If Americans for Prosperity or any of these other groups can help, even at a marginal level, being influential with 3, 4, 5% of the vote, that makes a big difference when nobody's walking out of here with more than 22% or something like that.
The trend is being facilitated by the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, which opened the gates for unregulated donations to third-party groups, the super PACs. At the same time, limits in direct contributions to the traditional parties remain in place.
And what that does is It makes the parties less effective.
Americans for Prosperity's Corey Lewandowski says his group, and environmentalist Tom Steyer's for that matter, are gaining clout, and the traditional parties are losing it.
They don't have the ability any longer to simply get people elected based on that single letter following their name. And that's a good thing.
Party operatives on both sides downplay the outside group's influence and point to fizzled efforts in past presidential elections. And for now, at least, some of the most traditional party activities are going full bore, such as right here at a Manchester home that's been transformed for the evening into a phone banking command center.
We're getting ready for Get Out the Vote, which is the 3 days
before. With control of the U.S. Senate up for grabs and tight races up and down the ticket in New Hampshire, staffers like these are going to be working overtime next week, whether they're working for party or for PAC. For NHPR News, I'm Fred Bever.